The fifth word. There now came a point in the discourse of the seven last words from the cross which would seem to indicate that our blessed Lord was speaking of himself, whereas in some of the previous words he was speaking to others. But the facts are not quite so simple. It is indeed true that the loss of blood through the sufferings, the unnatural position of the body with the extreme tension on hands and feet, the overstretched muscles, the wounds exposed to air, the headache from the crowning of thorns, the swelling of the blood vessels, the increasing inflammation, all would have produced a physical thirst. It was not surprising that he thirsted. What was surprising was that he said so. He who threw stars into their orbits and spheres into space, he who shut up the sea with doors, he who made waters come out of the rock smitten by Moses, he who had made all the seas and rivers and fountains, he who said to the woman of Samaria, "The man who drinks the water I give him will not know thirst any more," now let fall from his lips the shortest of the seven cries from the cross, "I am thirsty," John 19:28. When he was crucified, he refused to take a concoction which was offered him. Now he avidly asked for a drink. But there was considerable difference between the two drinks. The first was myrrh, and was a stupefying potion to ward off pain. That he refused, in order that his senses might not be dulled. The drink that was now given to him was vinegar of the sour bad wine of the soldiers. There was a jar there full of vinegar, so they filled a sponge with the vinegar and put it on a stick of hyssop, and brought it close to his mouth. Jesus drank the vinegar. John 19:29. He who had turned water into wine at Cana could have used the same infinite resources to have satisfied his own thirst, except for the fact that he never worked a miracle in his own behalf. But why did he ask for a drink? It was not solely because of the need, great though that must have been. The real reason for the request was the fulfillment of the prophecies. And now Jesus knew well that all was achieved which the Scripture demanded for its accomplishment, and he said, "I am thirsty." All that the Old Testament had foretold of him had to be fulfilled to the smallest iota. David in the Scriptures had foretold his thirst during his passion. "Parched is my throat, like clay in the baking, and my tongue sticks fast in my mouth. I look round for pity where pity is none, for comfort where there is no comfort to be found. They gave me gall to eat, and when I was thirsty they gave me vinegar to drink." Psalm 21, Psalm 68. Thus the soldiers, though they gave him vinegar in mockery, for so it is explicitly stated, nevertheless fulfilled the Scriptures. The vinegar was given him on a bunch of hyssop, a plant that grew about a foot and a half high. It was hyssop, too, that was dipped in the blood of the Paschal Lamb. It was hyssop that was used to sprinkle the lintel and posts of the Jews in Egypt to escape the avenging angel. It was hyssop that was dipped in the blood of the bird in cleansing the leper. It was David himself, after his sin, who said that he would be purged with hyssop and be made clean. That which takes place last in the life of men held by intention the first place in his, for he came to suffer and die. But he would not give up his life until he had fulfilled details of the Scriptures that men might know that it was he, the Christ, the Son of God, who was dying on the cross. He was taking out of the Scriptures the idea that the Messiah of the promise must not accept death as a fate, but perform it as a deed. Exhaustion was not to put him to death, as exhaustion accounted not for his thirst. As high priest and mediator, it was the prophecies concerning him that prompted the cry of thirst. Indeed, the Jewish rabbis had already applied that prophecy to him. The Midrash stated, "Come and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. This is spoken of the Messiah, of his passion and torments, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities.'" Since the soldiers mockingly gave our blessed Lord the vinegar at the end of hyssop, it is very likely that they intended to ridicule one of the Jewish sacred rites. When the blood of the lamb was sprinkled by the hyssop, the purification through a symbol was now fulfilled as the hyssop touched the blood of Christ. St. Paul, dwelling on that idea, writes, "It is his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, that has enabled him to enter once for all into the sanctuary. The blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer sprinkled over men defiled, have power to hallow them for every purpose of outward purification. And shall not the blood of Christ, who offered himself through the Holy Spirit as a victim unblemished in God's sight, purify our consciences and set them free from lifeless observances to serve the living God?" Hebrews 9:12. The bystanders at the cross who knew well the Old Testament prophecies were thus given another proof that he was the suffering Messiah. His fourth word, which expressed his sufferings of soul, and his fifth word, which expressed sufferings of body, were both foretold. Thirst was the symbol of the unsatisfying character of sin. The pleasures of the flesh purchased at the cost of joy of the spirit are like drinking salt water. The rich man in hell in the parable thirsted and begged Father Abraham to ask Lazarus to wet his tongue with but a drop of water. Making complete atonement for sin demanded that the Redeemer now feel the thirst even of the lost before they are lost. But for the saved too it was a thirst, a yearning for souls. Some men have a passion for money, others for fame. His passion was for souls. "Give me to drink" meant, "Give me thy heart." The tragedy of divine love for mankind is that in his thirst, men gave him vinegar and gall.